This morning, I'm going to be sharing, it's not a long message, because I think I worship, but that's, you know what, if this is all our service is about, where we can prophetically hear what God is saying to us, and we can honor that, and repent and worship, that is enough. It is enough, because we are being obedient to God. However, it's good for us to eat the word as well, and to be encouraged, and to allow God to speak through his word to us. But it's so important that we don't push past and play church and miss the prophetic and miss the voice of his spirit. Amen? Is that okay? That's the type of church we are. If you're here for the first time, welcome. That's what it's going to be like. We don't want to play church here, and we're going to honor that. And I want to encourage you, if God ever shows you something prophetically, if it's a word or a picture or something, please, we are family, and we want to hear what God is saying to us collectively. It's not just the person that's standing in the front. God is speaking to all of us through his spirit. And we want to make that just clear, that we are open for us to hear what God is saying. The power of his presence. That's what I want to talk about. And hopefully you encountered a bit of that. You experienced a bit of that today. And that wherever we go, I've just been made so aware that I don't want to live a normal, if that's even a word, a normal Christian life. Where I do, you know, oh, that guy's a nice guy, you know. And what, I'm not to say that I'm not a nice guy, but I'm just saying I don't want to just be that Christian guy or person. I want to live a life that is filled with the power of his presence. Is there anyone else here? Or was it just me? Okay, a few hands. Yes, I'm ready to go. I'm preaching to you this morning. But I want to encourage us that we are carriers of his presence. Let me show you an example. I don't have that cup of water. It doesn't matter. But if we were to enter a space, a car, a room, an office, a school classroom, an area, a family, a party, what do we carry into that space? Is it just your personality? Are you that guy that everyone likes and high fives all around? Or are you the quiet, reserved one? It's not that. It is all those things, but God's presence is in us. The power of God is within us, and we carry that. We usher that into a space if we honor him. If we honor him and we are obedient to him. Church, I hope you hear me this morning. I don't want to say that, you know, we're living disconnected lives or powerless lives, but there's something of God's presence when we honor him in a space, in a meeting, in a gathering, that he moves. He does things that change the situation. We are carriers of his presence. In Acts 1 verses 8, I'm going to read a few passages for us and then just bring us to a few points. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. A passage we know well. You will receive power. And it's not you'll even receive a greater measure of love or a greater measure of miracles even, but the spirit of power means influence and change. The word actually is dunamos. There's an impact when we carry his presence into a space because we honor him. And I'm going to get to this in a moment. We are called to be his witnesses, to bear witness of the power even, of who he is, the resurrected power, the power that raised Christ from the dead. That's the Holy Spirit that lives within you and I. I think sometimes we lose sight of that. And this morning I want to encourage us that this is the power we carry. The world hates it, or the devil hates it, because it's the victory stuff. It's the stuff that changes situations. And sometimes we don't feel like we have the power. But if you're a son or daughter, you're carrying it. And we need to recognize that. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? It dwells in your midst. Don't forget it. Church, we are a temple. We are a temple of His presence. Let that just sink in and remind us that it's His Spirit that dwells in us. Maybe you're sitting here and you've never had opportunity to have that Spirit. In Luke 13, verse 13 says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" God wants us to have His Spirit. I said this a couple of weeks back, but God's Spirit came into you when you were born again for you. Your spirit was rebirthed. You were born again. You know it without a doubt. No one can take that from you. You are born again. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. However, God's Spirit came into you for you, but He came upon you for others, that others would encounter, that we would be carriers of His presence wherever we go, and if we honor it and we ask for more and we are obedient, He will show and demonstrate that power. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me, has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and to release from darkness for the prisoners. Release from darkness for the prisoners. And I just want you to be reminded of this morning, church, because I'm starting to echo a bit, yeah. I think we've lost sight and track sometimes of the presence that we carry in. I was made so aware of this when I had a conversation with someone that I knew that they were a believer, but as soon as we acknowledged that this is not a normal meeting, that this isn't just a lekker kuier, but there's something significant about us coming together, then God's Spirit could work, could operate, could we could encourage each other more than just a flesh, more than just something that is temporary, but is something that is eternal. And that's what our fellowship is. When we come together and we honor His Spirit, we honor His presence in our lives and in that space, then He can use that space. That's what we do when we have small groups. We've been dealing with this prayer course at the moment, and it's really been such a blessing to those that have been just really reaping the fruit of it. I was chatting to someone last night. They said they're really hoping the prayer course would answer all their problems. And I said, that's not what it's there to do. It's there to actually point us to God, to recognize that no matter how much we struggle with even unanswered prayers and the things that are difficult and challenging and struggling in our lives, it always points us to God and that He does not change. He remains the same. Even through our challenge, through our struggle, through our suffering, He is there. He is faithful. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 22, always be joyful. This is a well-known passage, but I'm going to get to the second part of it. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. In verse 19, which we've probably even heard messages leading up to verse 18. There's a whole sermon in there, but I want to get to this verse. In verse 19, do not stifle or quench, other translations say, the Holy Spirit. Do not control, do not resist the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. This, my friends, in these few passages is practicing His presence. It's practicing the Holy Spirit's presence and being obedient in that. It's ushering in His presence. We are called, you know what an usher is? An usher is someone that helps you find your seat, eh? Sometimes at big churches, we're not that big yet, so people can find their seat for them. It's like only five rows. But, you know, it's like there's different ushers, they usher you in to a space. And we, as believers, should usher people in to the presence of God, because we know what that is. An usher knows the venue. It knows where people need to go to get what they need to get. And as believers, we should be ushering people into God's presence. That's what our worship team does. But as believers, we are all worshipers, and we all have that opportunity to usher people in, to help them come to the place where they have the source of life. They encounter God. They encounter His presence, His truth, and His word. That's part of our responsibility. Our invitation is to usher people in. I want to encourage you. I love doing this at the moment. I don't call it usher. I probably don't usher my kids. They usher me. I was saying the other day, they came and called me from my laptop. I was working. They said, "Daddy, it's time to sing songs." And I know what that means. That's worship. We're going to worship now on the TV. And they jump around on the couches singing praise, hallelujah. And I'm just like, so I catch them before they fall off. And we worship God in our home, and we do it in small groups. We create an atmosphere that allows us to experience His presence. And some of the most sweet times of worship in this last period of time have been with my children, where we can sing a song and I can tangibly feel His presence there, and I can see that they are encountering His presence. And I'm just like, yes, Lord, this is enough for today. This is all I want to see, my children worshiping You in spirit and truth. Understanding that this is what it's about. It's not about, they love coming to church. They love seeing the people and putting out the chairs and playing everywhere. But they encounter His presence that changes everything. It's real to them. Church, I don't want to even call you church. We're just believers. But we usher in His presence. When our families, when our friends come to visit us, we had friends visiting us last weekend. Was it last weekend? I don't know. When Vaynant came to minister here, and he stayed at our house, and then we also worshipped in our home. And just knowing that this would be a blessing, because this is who we are now. And I think we shouldn't be ashamed of who we are as believers. When a non-believer, this is what happened. One of our neighbors came to our house, and we were blasting the worship music. She walked in through the front door. She does not believe. But her little daughter was playing at our house, and the worship music was going because we started worshiping in the morning, and it just continued. And so she stepped through the door, and her eyes were like this big, and she said she doesn't want to interrupt anything because His presence was there. She experienced it. But as a non-believer, she didn't know what it was. She's like, "What is this? Because it's a bit weird. I can experience something of His presence in this place, but what is it?" And I believe a seed was even planted in that moment, that there's a hunger for what is this presence of God. And I know God's going to work in her life, and she's going to be sitting here one day. But we are ushers of His presence. We create that opportunity. Don't be ashamed. At that moment, you can say, "Oh, I'm so sorry." No, this is who we are. Enjoy it. This is His presence. We usher it in. When you drive, you should play worship music in your car. Please don't listen to radio. It's depressing. Okay, if you want to, you can listen to the highlights and turn it off. Put some worship music on. Listen to what actually matters. Okay, not that the news isn't important, but there's better ways for us to encourage us. And the radio is full of nonsense anyway, so I'm talking about the music. But let's worship. Let's create an atmosphere. My wife drops our kids at school, and she also, we just play worship music. And we ask the children, "What songs do you want to sing on the way to church, on the way to school?" I'm just sharing some things out of my life, but hopefully you can capture that this is who we are. We are a people of worship. We are people of His Spirit. We are people that when we pray, when we come to have a meal together, it's not just, "Thank you, Jesus, for the food, blessed to our bodies." We have a moment there to engage with a living God, our living God who created the universe, to thank Him for something and to bring every burden or every struggle before Him and say, "Lord, as a family, we come before You now, and we trust You. We choose to trust You." We practice this. People look in. Religious people look in. Non-believers look in, and they say, "You guys are weird, man. You're weird in the way you approach your situation. But this is who we are. This is who God has made us to be." Don't be ashamed, church. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to move in your midst. Sometimes you need to just pause and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You're on even a good course of doing something. You're on your way to do something that's maybe even very productive or fruitful, but God just says, whoa, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading us. Maybe there's a conversation you need to have with the individual just to drop a seed of encouragement to say, you know what, God is still there. He's still busy. He's still working. Don't give up. Don't give up. People sometimes just are so busy on their way, but we need to be sensitive to His presence. I can see you're hot. You're on fire for God. Yeah? You should put on the heaters and then let us sweat. At least you can say you went to gym today. You can ask Jacques how hot it was here yesterday while we were doing setup. Woo! We should have brought spare t-shirts if that was that hot. But let's not stifle the Holy Spirit. Let's allow His presence to flow in and through us in our lives. I want to mention a few more points there, but do not scoff at prophecy. Can I just jump to verse 22 where it says, stay away from every kind of evil. Do you know what I've recognized and realized, and I'm sure you have too if you have had relationship with the Lord, is that when we choose, and it is a choice, when you choose to stay away from every kind of evil, His presence is closer, is it not? But when you engage that, or you allow temptation, or you allow that stuff into your life, the Lord becomes quieter. It's just how it is, because He is a holy God, and He cannot be where sin is. Until we repent and we come to the place saying, Lord, I can't deal with, I need to be back with You. And we need to practice that. But can we just recognize, if we want to be ushers of His presence into a space, into our families, into our lives, that we need to stay away from every kind of evil, every kind of idol, every kind of thing that would separate us and press us away from the Lord. We need to learn how to deal with our sin and the temptation of sin. I want you to get this. I'm nearly finished. But today, this morning, there are moments that matter. There's moments in your life that matter. And maybe this is one of them, that you recognize that you, in your walk with God, have been stifling or quenching the Lord's Spirit. And maybe, and this is an example from my dad, my dad encountered the Holy Spirit when he must be my age, close by, powerfully. They were in a church in Pretoria, and God was doing mighty, mighty things. And he got offended by the way people treated the Holy Spirit, because they quenched the Holy Spirit, they made a mockery of the Holy Spirit, and he closed himself off to God using him. And even to this day, he still carries some of that hurt. And maybe you're sitting here today and you've experienced that, a similar thing, where you've seen the mockery of the Holy Spirit, or you've been hurt by an individual even, which has closed off your heart. But there's a moment that you can recognize that, and you can say, Lord, I don't want to quench Your Spirit anymore. I want You to lead me. I want You to heal me even. When His Spirit is in us and in a situation, it changes everything. It changes everything. It changes our families. It changes the way we see the world. It changes the way we do our work. You cannot go and do work normally if you're a Spirit-filled believer. There's something wrong with you. You have to see it as opportunity to disciple those around you and to see life come in that area, whether it's your classroom or whatever. His kingdom must come. When His Spirit is in that space, He can move the mountains. Can I tell you something? I've tried to convince people of the gospel and of how God loves them. Without God's Spirit, it is impossible. Without Him moving into a situation and changing people's hearts and literally taking that mountain in their hearts and shifting it out the way, that I could never do. God moves the mountains. He changes people's lives and hearts. So maybe we need to just stop trying so hard and say, God, let your spirit work. Let your spirit move that mountain. Even in me, maybe you have a mountain in you that needs to be moved. Allow the Holy Spirit to come, the power of his spirit. Let us be people that are moved by him, moved by his spirit. No one chooses to move us except for God's spirit. Amen? Amen. That was okay. Just to wake you up a bit. No one chooses to move us other than his spirit. Us being led by the spirit of God because we are children of the spirit of God. I love this quote I saw reading an article this week. God has granted us the power and authority to restrict or release what the spirit does in the local church or in our lives. He has given. It's remarkable to think about that the God of the universe, whose spirit dwells within us, has given us access, firstly, to his power and his spirit, to restrict it and to release it. Do we see this, church? Do you understand the significance of his power, of the God of the universe's spirit dwelling within us, and he's giving us responsibility to restrict it? I think if a drop of his presence was in us, we'd explode. But he is there. And he allows us to practice the flow of his presence in our lives or to restrict it. And that's on you, no one else. That breaks my mind. I can't understand it really. Quickly, then we're gonna close. And it will run to the ice water there. That's warm water now. There's ways that we can quench the Holy Spirit. I just want to mention a few of them. Firstly, structure. Okay, and it's not so much about structure like rows and stuff, but I went to Ireland on a mission trip, not a mission trip, it was actually just a family holiday. It ended up being a mission trip because you can't go on holiday without his presence with you and not being a mission trip, because you're going to encounter someone that's going to meet Jesus or is going to be encouraged by his spirit. Can we just sign up for that? I don't go on holidays anymore. I go on opportunities to rest and maybe see what God is going to do. And it's always more rewarding to be sensitive to. You can't tune out God. Say, okay, God, I'm going on holiday. Bye. See you when I'm back. Oh, I'm back. How are you doing, God? He's there with you. And your best holidays are with him when you can rest with him, when he can show you the stuff that he's doing. Anyway, we're in Ireland. And we came to this place where our friends invited us to a church. There were eight people. I might have shared this story. I'm going to share it again. There were eight people at this little church. And it's in a small town in Carmel in Ireland. And they invited us to go to this church. And it was so dry. It was so stuck in its way. It had been there for, it was an old stone little chapel. And we went in there and sang a song or two. And then we had a sermon. And my mom, as she walked in, she said, God gave her a picture of the Holy Spirit sitting at the door. As a person, but sitting at the door. And she said, we need to pray for this church. When we came home, she said, we need to pray for this church. We need to pray that the leadership of this church recognizes that they need to invite the Holy Spirit back into the church. Because he's sitting at the door. And he's been put there. He's been restricted to that space. And I think sometimes we do this in our lives. We're restricted to a space. And they invited... we prayed, and we prayed for that leadership. When we spoke to the people again a few months later, they said, you won't believe what's happening in our church. It's full of people. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And they said, there's just a sense of life happening. And I was like, praise God. The Holy Spirit is ministering in that space. It's touching people's lives. And we need to stop having a structure where we restrict God's presence into our lives. So you can have this space. You can have that space of the church even. But this is our peace. We need to repent for that. The control of his spirit. When we diminish his personality. Can I tell you something? God is a person. As much as he is God, he has a personality in the Holy Spirit. And that we need to honor that. We need to honor that he's not just some source or power switch. Like, oh, there's the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He's personable. We get to know him and have relationship with him. We need to honor and not diminish the personability, the personality of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's not an energy source or something that just, well, there he is and there he's gone. We have a relationship with him. Don't diminish the activity that alerts and awakens us to his glorious truth. God's Spirit points us to his truth, always. Right? And anything the Holy Spirit says will be confirmed by his word. They don't contradict each other. They are in line, perfectly in line. When we rely on our own efforts, our own resources, our own talents even, we can quench the Holy Spirit. We can be too good at doing something. Don't get there. Don't fall into that trap. Maybe you've got your systems and things in place in your life. Be careful, my friends. That's where you start to rely on yourself and not on the Holy Spirit. The passage before in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, it says, be careful not to despise prophetic utterance. This morning we had prophetic utterance. There was prophetic words that were spoken over us. Do not despise that. Test it, it says. Allow, you have God's Spirit and his word. Allow it to filter into you deep. Let it move you deeply. But do not despise it. For maybe someone has said something or done something in the past that has offended you. Go revisit that thing and say, God, I don't want to be closed off to the prophetic utterance of what you're doing. We are prophetic people because of his Spirit that's within us. The last one here. Don't suppress or legislate against or instill fear in people's hearts regarding the legitimate experience of heartfelt emotions and affections in worship. If you know God, you have a personal relationship with him. There's an intimacy there. Emotions will flow from that. And I want to just clear the air and say that there's an open space for you to be free. Be free to allow your emotions that you have for God to even flow out in worship. You don't have to be restricted. No one is going to say, hey, just settle down, you know, reel you in. No. If you're acting out of love and genuine, heartfelt worship for God, then let that flow. These are a few things. There are other things that quench God's Spirit. Sin was one of them earlier, but these are some things that we can practice that we sometimes don't see, and I wanted to remind us of. Maybe you've been practicing these things. Maybe we as a church have been practicing some of these things, and we need to be sensitive to not allow those things. I want to pray for us this morning. I don't think we're going to worship another song. We're just going to land here this morning. Let's close our eyes. Father, we just thank you this morning, God, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can know you and be obedient to you and know your power, God. It's so precious to us, and we don't want to control you, God. We want you to lead us, to be in us. And right now, just where you're sitting, can we just repent if we've been just trying to quench or not without even knowing, quenching his Spirit. Just give over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. In your own heart, just say, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to be in control of my life, but I want to be led by you. I want to be submitted to your presence because it is great. You are great. And even as that quote says, I am the only one who can restrict it and let it flow through my life. So, I just surrender myself unto you now. And I want to pray just as we close. I just want to, for us to open our palms just up to the Lord and just as an act of surrender. I'm going to ask for, it says we should ask continually to be filled with his Spirit. And just as we've come to clean and repent of our quenching of his Spirit, of the holding on of our own systems, our own ways, where we can just say, Lord, we want more of you. You're a good Father, God, and we just ask as your children now that you would come, with your gentleness, because you are gentle. Even though you're a powerful, mighty God, you are so gentle and so loving towards us. And we just ask that you would come and fill us afresh this morning. That you would come and pour, it even says, your Spirit into our hearts again, afresh. We just accept it. We believe it. And we allow you, Lord, to lead us so that it may flow through us. We're sorry, God, for where we restrict you. Come have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen.